Your Excellency, President of the General Assembly, Your Excellency, Secretary General of the United Nations, Your Excellency, heads of the delegation, and fellow delegates, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of President, His Excellency Salva Kiir Mayardit, I stand before you to share the recent development in our country. I intend to do so in the spirit of constructive engagement. On July 9, 2011, we emerged from a long liberation struggle against oppression and domination. After 10 years of independence, we remain on a path of nation building founded on the vision and inspiration of our liberation struggle and what we have committed for ourselves under the revitalized agreement on the resolution of the conflict in South Sudan that was realized through the support of the UN, the AU, and key friendly nations. While our determination to fulfill implementation, to implement the provision of the agreement has been impacted by many challenges, foremost of which is a global COVID-19 pandemic outbreak and the limited resources needed for its implementation. It has enabled the formation of an inclusive transitional government of national unity, the establishment and operation of local governments, and setting up of the transitional National Legislative Assembly that are fervently serving the people. President Salva Kiir launched the National Dialogue to complement the agreement while the revitalized peace process was underway. The National Dialogue followed a bottom-up approach, conducting grassroots consultation that covers all the regions in the country and articulated the views and recommendations from the people on the South Sudan they would like to see and of a government that would be serving them. The President received the report of the National Dialogue in May 2021 and pledged to implement its recommendations. The same recommendations are providing the foundation as we embark on the process of developing our first ever constitution. Mr. President, the revitalized agreement and national dialogue are necessary historical steps in our country's quest for peace, but we are still far from building a nation that can provide essential services and development for our people. As a national leaders, we admittedly have occurred mistakes that may have disappointed our friends, supporters, and the world. We have learned from those mistakes, and I am here to engage in constructive dialogue with our international partners, bearing in mind the lessons and consequences of our actions, and more importantly, the dreams, aspirations, and marching order from our people of the kind of government, society that they want. Permit me to highlight some key points on our efforts to bring about much-needed peace, security, and development to our people. First, I would like to acknowledge that although our independence was product of the struggle and sacrifices of our people, we could not have won without the political and material support from our friends, allies, and partners from around the world. We are deeply grateful to them. Second, I want to assure our friends and partners that we are determined to never go back to war. We pledge to pursue the promises our liberators made to our people. We must ensure peace, security, dignity for all without distinction. We must replace the destruction of war with the productive use of our vast natural resources and national assets for good of our people. Third, we fully realize that the responsibility for pursuing this vision is our own as a people. We believe that the partnership we seek can only be accomplished through constructive, mutually beneficial engagement. Mr. President, distinguished delegates, the failure to fulfill the promises of our struggle is due to objective reasons for which our partners and ourselves must cooperate in finding practical solutions. While there should be no doubt about the goodwill of President Salva Kiir and the government he leads to secure peace and the establishment of a just, peaceful, inclusive, and prosperous South Sudan, we need to identify and address the objective reasons for these failures. President Kiir has recently stated that it is now time to correct the past mistakes and open a new page for building a better future of peace, development, and prosperity for our people. Mr. President, we should recall that at our independence, the international community pledged to help build the capacity of our infant country in all areas of nation building. As a result, the United Nations mission in South Sudan, UNMISS, was created to help establish the foundations of our new nation. However, after the outbreak of war, that vision was abandoned and priority was placed on protecting civilians and providing humanitarian assistance. As a result, support for capacity building of the state was terminated. The protection of civilians is a priority. As the Vice President responsible for the humanitarian cluster in our government, I champion this cause, but it should not be at the expense of capacity building and sustainable development. Building state capacities to govern responsibly and effectively is essential. It is also necessary to guard against the unintended consequences of dependency on humanitarian assistance. With the constant improvement in peace security, it is time to transition from emergency and place our efforts to resetting the sustainable development agenda. The development of the revitalized national development strategy is the government of South Sudan's clear and deliberate roadmap to accelerating the implementation of our axis while laying the foundations of sustainable peace and the stabilization of our economy. It is a painful and shameful situation for a country in doubt with vast fertile land to be regarded as poor. We must ensure peace and security in the country and double our efforts to support our people who wanted to return and are returning to their areas of origin for them to participate fully in nation building and contribute to bringing food security in the country. At the core of our efforts are the youth. South Sudan is a young and youthful country, and we call on our partners to help us in our continuing efforts to develop the skills of women and youth, providing them with jobs and livelihood opportunities, and harnessing their energy and productive capacity to provide an alternative to picking up the gun again and engaging in destructive behavior. I am glad to note that encouraging steps have recently been taken in this direction. For example, our security forces and their UNMISS counterparts have begun to promote rural peace and security. We are soon unveiling a national youth service program and setting up a youth empowerment fund in partnership with the United Nations Development Program and other partners. The government welcomes and appreciates such fruitful and positive engagements. To fulfill the vision of our liberation struggle, we must use our oil revenues to fuel economic growth through investment in agriculture. We will invest in infrastructure to connect our rural communities to the markets. We need the public and private sectors, including foreign investors, to join hands in turning South Sudan's potential wealth into a reality. Mr. President, distinguished delegates, I am glad to report on the implementation of the various chapters of the agreement. We have formed executive and legislative organs at the national and state levels, in line with power-sharing formulas in Chapter 1 of the agreement. More importantly, we have made significant progress in implementing public financial management reforms in Chapter 4. These measures have met the expectation of international financial institutions and other external partners. In addition, the constitution-making process has recently taken a significant step forward, and with convening a workshop that charted a roadmap towards the drafting and adoption of the permanent constitution. Towards drafting and adoption of the permanent constitution, the implementation of Chapter 5 on transitional justice, accountability, reconciliation, and healing is moving forward at a relative slow pace. This is not for lack of political will, but rather for objective reasons that are addressing with our regional and international partners. We can therefore say that the glass is half full in the implementation of most chapters of the Revitalized Peace Agreement. Where the glass remains half empty is in Chapter 2 on a permanent ceasefire and transitional security arrangements. There is an urgent need to form a unified professional army under one command and control. The security sector reform is the most challenging part of the agreement, as it contains elements at the center of the violent conflicts in the country. The parties to the agreement and other stakeholders should continue dialogue to build the mutual understanding and confidence needed to address and resolve long-standing differences. Building sustainable peace requires inclusivity, collective investment, determination, diligence, and patience. Mr. President, having celebrated the 10th anniversary of independence this year, the next decade, the United Nations Decade of Action to deliver on the SDGs by 2030, is an opportune moment that coincides with our efforts to develop the country's economy by investing in agriculture. Moreover, with the youth estimated at 73.6% of the population, the government promises to leverage women and young people's contribution to agriculture and economic development. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, climate change has already impacted the lives of at least 1 million people across South Sudan. Torrential rains have resulted in the worst flooding in 60 years and have inundated villages and towns and destroyed livestock. South Sudan has developed and submitted its second nationally determined contribution, which lays out the framework of the country's string commitments to Paris Agreement and its contribution to the global effort to reduce emission to below 1.5 degrees Celsius, despite the country already having amongst the lowest carbon emission. The NDC not only places the country towards a sustainable low carbon growth pathway, but also developed its resilience against climate-induced shocks and stresses. South Sudan is contributing more than its fair share in reducing global emission. Yet it is amongst the countries that is suffering the most from the impact of climate change. We call upon member states to aggressively respond to the call for action to further cut emissions if we are to avert catastrophic situation that will be a defining moment for mankind. South Sudan stands ready to help the world, and this is to our national interest, as we have the natural resources and capacity to enhance climate mitigation and adaptation measures. However, funding these measures is essential, and so we join the call to make climate finance accessible to developing countries to enable us to help the world more while also preventing climate change impacts from revising our developmental gains and increasing the vulnerability of our people and country from shocks and stresses. Mr. President, distinguished delegates, I am happy to report that bilateral relationship between South Sudan and Sudan has significantly improved. We have cooperated effectively to resolve our national problems, positively reinforcing our mutual relationship. There are, however, issues that still need to be resolved between our two countries. First and foremost is the issue of the contested area of Abyei. The Abyei Protocol of CPA already states the basis for resolving this issue. Unfortunately, we disagree on the implementation of the Abyei Protocol and have entered into several additional agreements without a final solution. Now Khartoum has called for the withdrawal of the Ethiopian forces in the United Nations Interim Security Force in Abyei. Any alternative arrangements will take time and leave a dangerous security gap in the area. This issue can be resolved peacefully through an arrangement that will give Abyei people their freedom and dignity. Moreover, that will enable them to play a positive role at the border between the two Sudans. We are determined to learn from the past and look forward to engaging in a constructive dialogue, revitalized cooperation, and being more effective in pursuing our shared objectives. We must make the revitalized peace agreement succeed, and we can only do that with support of our regional and international partners. Simply stated, South Sudan desires and is ready to turn a new page. Last, Mr. President, distinguished delegates, I have come to this assembly with the spirit of my late husband, Dr. John Garang de Mabure, and all those who paid the ultimate price in the struggle. It was a dream for Dr. John to liberate his people and address the global community at this very podium. Being here as a female vice president from an independent South Sudan realized Dr. John's dream. Thank you, Mr. President, and distinguished delegates, for this opportunity and your attention.